tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you that he has made this day and given us an opportunity to live and move and have our being in him. So, Holy God, speak now for us. Speak a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of joy and a word of love. Speak, Lord God, again. For we know that God is love. And so we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the vine, the true vine. So, Lord, speak. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Lord God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer, you are our Savior, you are our refuge. You are everything that we need. Amen. And so we give God thanks. And you know, this is a time of year even earlier in the year when people begin to prune, right? We all know about pruning, don't we? Where we, I prune all the time, just my little plants in house, I prune them all the time. I'm no longer pruning outside. I used to be a good gardener, but I was going to say old age, but it's not old age. You know what? I've been putting on a couple of pounds so you can't get down to your knees. I mean, you can get down on your knees, but you can't get up. That is the key. I have a few little gardens. Now I have the lily, and I'm going to plant it. And I say to myself, I better plant it when Angel or Ron is here. So in case I'm on my knees and can't get up, I have my cell phone with me. I could cry out, come and help me up. So that's what has happened. You get down and you can't. But we know about pruning, right? We want to pick off those things so that new buds will come up. Amen? And so it's an important thing, but there's pruning that comes from love. Pruning that comes from love. And we should know about that, that God will, through Jesus Christ, will prune us. One writer says he owns a vineyard, and he talks about why we prune the vines. And so he says, why do we prune? Because if the vineyard is not pruned, it reverts very quickly to its wild nature, climbing everywhere with its long trunk, swingy trunk, and tiny scraggly branches of uneven grapes. Every year we need to assess the growth of the vines and decide whether to prune them back harder or to let them grow a bit bigger or return them to the same size and shape they were the year before. So every year they make an assessment. Part of the pleasure of pruning is that it is pure craftsmanship. Right? It's pure craftsmanship, like woodworking or ceramics, a blending of form and vision, assessing the vine's growth and adjusting the pruning cuts to its individual differences. Important, right? So we all get pruned individually. It's also a tactical relationship with nature, the living vines that could easily grow wild, guided by our hands to line up in the vineyard rows, ready to bear another crop of wine grapes for our pleasure and nourishment. If we prune correctly, the vine will be balanced. That means it will grow just enough. If it grows too much, the resulting wines will be thin and simple. If it grows too little, the wine will be bitter and hard. The right amount of growth, what we call balanced growth, results in balanced wines that are delicious and taste much better. For those wine drinkers in here, you don't have to raise your hands because, you know, we are teetotal, many of us. But for those who have a glass of wine, I guess you know from tasting the wine how it tastes when it's pruned well, right? For those who have the taste, what they say could the natural taste for it. But here's the owner of this vineyard, earthly vineyard, is telling you how carefully they have to prune in order to get the best wine, right? Pruning is an art. Any good gardener knows that the beautiful roses require careful pruning. Pieces of a living plant have to die. It cannot just grow wild, this writer says. We cannot simply celebrate growth. Growth in Christ requires careful pruning. Pieces of us, by our intentional action, need to die if we are to become the person that is in God's vision. We are not cutting away a cancerous growth, but making room for intended growth. So sometimes we're going through stuff and we think, what? That it is, oh, the devil is doing this, and why is this happening? And all it is, we're going through what? Pruning. Pruning. The Lord is pruning us. I know we don't want to believe that the Lord prunes us, but he does, because these are his word. We are in the Gospel of John, friends. And John is what? The one who speaks of what? The I ams, right? I am. Last week we've been reading, studying John in our Bible study. And this past Saturday, we had an early morning class, but we were talking about I am the bread of life. Right? And now this is about I am the vine. In John 15:1-8, it goes from 1-17. Jesus talks to us about vine and branches and the relationship that should exist between them. Jesus is using a metaphor, right? He wants us to understand our connection to him, right? He uses metaphor. He's a great storyteller, Jesus. He uses parables and metaphors to give us so we could get it, to simplify it. Jesus tells his disciple this story at an unusual time. Now, if you're thinking like I think when I'm putting this together, this 15th chapter of John comes after John 14, right? You remember John 14, the one we read all the time at funerals, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Why? Because this is the night before Jesus knew that he was going to die. He's getting his disciples ready. Right? He is walking with them and he's telling them, he already told them, don't be worried, you know where I'm going. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. So Jesus knew that the word he spoke that night would echo in these men's memories for years to come. One could call this a deathbed conversation. He knows it was his last time, as John tells us. And now he's talking about, pruning, abiding with him. Bruce Wilkinson writes, Jesus loved to convey the deepest truths with simple, earthy examples. In his last message before his death, he wanted you and me to comprehend with our whole being that he has left us on this planet for one compelling reason, and it has everything to do with fruit. Jesus expects us to bear fruit, and he knows that the only way we could bear fruit if we abide in him, right? And so we are going to see Jesus uses the metaphor of the vineyard to help us understand our role in bearing fruit. And Jesus says, this is an interesting text, because I always thought that Jesus was a vine dresser. No. Jesus is the vine, right? Jesus, God is the vine dresser. He's the one who owns the garden. But Jesus is the vine, right? And he's the one that is there, that long vine. And then we are what? The branches, friends, right? So look at the connection. He's using this, but since I've learned that it's the trunk of the plant that grows out of the ground, right? The vine is the trunk of the plant that grows out of the ground that is the vine, and the vine ends in these large gnarls from which the branches grow in either direction, right? So from the trunk of the plant all the way up, that is the vine, the big vine coming up, and these things that grow from it, and then the branches will be on it. So Jesus is using this to tell them. And the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. The vine dresser is the keeper of the vineyard, either the owner or the person hired to tend to it. So God is the vine dresser. He's the owner of the garden, and Jesus is the vine. What an image, right? What an image. You and I, friends, we are the branches. We are the branches. In the vineyard, the branches are the focus. We are the focus of the vine dresser's efforts because we produce fruit. All kinds of fruit. Fruit that will last. Therefore, branches are tied up on the trestles or they're propped up with sticks to let air circulate, to provide maximum amount of sunshine and to allow access for tending. The vine dresser lovingly cultivates each branch so that it will bear much fruit. And then Jesus says here, what did he say to the disciples? Abide in me as I abide in you. Because we cannot bear fruit that will last without abiding in Christ. Abide. This is a command from Jesus. It is an imperative, not a suggestion. Jesus did not say, I think you should abide in me. Maybe you should. Says, no, he says, abide in me. To break through to abiding, we must deepen the quality of our devoted time. How are we going to abide in Jesus, you and I as believers? We have to what? We must deepen the quality of our devoted time with Jesus. To break through to abiding, we must broaden our devoted time, taking it from a morning appointment to an all-day attentiveness to his presence. We must read his word, be in prayer, and being mindful, and being intentional about it, about building our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we abide. Amen? That's the only way to abide. And what does abiding does for us? Abiding helps us to sense the leading of the Lord. When we abide, we understand the Lord speaks to us through his Holy Spirit and we are led by the Lord. Abiding helps us to tap into all of God's spiritual riches for our lives, to abide, to be in relationship with God. Abiding gives us the rest we need to bear a much better yield when we abide in Christ. Right? When we're weary, we can put our load down and just abide in him. Abiding with God is not based on feelings. Abiding with God is about communion with God. It's about relationship with God, to abide with God. Abiding with God is about obeying God, to do God's will. So Jesus says, abide with me, and I will abide with you. Now, friends, when we read these texts and we understand that we have to abide and that we're going through pruning, John reminds us in 1 John that this pruning is because God loves us. That whatever pruning we think we're going through is not because God is in disagreement with us, it's because God loves us. For John says, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is from God, is born of God, and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that God revealed that love among us through his Son, because he sent his only Son to die for us. And so John tells us, he says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for us. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. And when we're abiding in Christ, we cannot possibly hate one another. Amen? When we're abiding in Christ, we have to love one another. We may not love what one another does all the time, but we ought to love one another. That's what John is telling us. If you're a true Christian abiding in Christ, you love one another. He says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. That means when I see Angel, I see the Spirit of God in him. When I see Susan, I see the Spirit of God in her. I ought to see it. When you see me, you ought to see the Spirit of God in me, and you ought to love me, and I ought to love you, and you love each other, because God is in you. Amen? We never see God. That's what John is telling us. We don't see God, but we see each other. And if we're Christian believers and the Spirit of God is in us, then you see God through me and I see God through you. Amen? Could you imagine if we started practicing that in the world? To say, yes, this is God's child. God created them. This, I may not know everything about them. Instead of being always so critical of each other, always trying to tear down, when we're abiding in Christ, we would what? Build up the body of Christ. Find ways to build up, because we know that God is love and the love of God is in that person. What a world that would be. What a church we would be. When we see hatred and meanness in the church, we realize that that person is not abiding with God. Because when you are, you stepped out of your own self and you says, ah, that's a child of God. I'm a child of God. We are related through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who would die for all of us. Because God is love. And so John wants us. He tells us about the pruning. And many of us are in pruning. Why? Because we have got implicit biases and implicit hatred for many years in our spirit that God is pruning and pruning to get out. Many people don't believe they do, but they have implicit biases and hatred that just dislike people for what they look like, who they are, what they do, without any particular reason, not knowing them, not understanding them, not having a discussion with them, but have made up in their mind that they are not good enough, or they don't look the way, or they don't come from my neighborhood, and that's not what God says, Christian believers, because God is love. God is love. And if we want God to love us, we have to work to love our brothers and sisters. Not love everything they do, because none of us love what all of our children do that we brought into this earth. We don't even love what our family members do. But to love them is of God. John wants us to know that. So when we think on things that we are going to do or say about someone else, we think, that's a child of God. I ought to love them. I ought to do better and strive to love them because God also loves me in my imperfection. And then John writes, he says, God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. Right? God, we who confess Jesus as the Son of God, as Christian believers, God abides in us. And then we abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The only way we're going to be abiding in God is to abide in love. Christian believers. And if God is pruning us, we know when we're going through a pruning. We stop complaining and we start asking God, God, how can I change? God, why are you pruning me? What is happening, God? What do I need to know? We know when we get convicted in our spirit, don't we? We know when we have done something and said something against the will of God. If we're truly abiding with God. And lastly, there is this great song that we sing, old song of the church, Abide With Me. We always sing it at certain times during Easter and so on during the Lenten season or at places, at funerals. It is not a song for the dead. It's a song for the living. Because the one who has passed on is already what? Gone to abide with the Lord. It says, abide with me, fast falls the evening tide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. He's the help of the helpless. Abide with me. Second verse, it says, at the end it says, oh, thou changest not, abide with me. We're asking the Lord to abide with me, and I'm coming today to tell you, he's already abiding with you. If you have chosen the Lord as your Lord and Savior, He's abiding with you. He is not particular and He doesn't separate. He doesn't have any favorites, even though I think I'm one of His favorites, but it's not so. We're all His favorites. He died for all of us. Abide with me. And it says, and then the other third verse says, thou through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. Through whatever I'm going through, Lord, abide with me. I triumph still if thou abide with me. Whatever we need, God will, because God abides in us. And then the last verse says, how hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shows flee. In life and in death, O Lord, abide with me. That's the promise. In life and in death, the Lord will abide with us. But we must be ready to abide with Him. And that abiding with Him means that every now and then He has to prune us. He has to say, Marjorie, I can't do that. That is not of God. You know what I'm talking about, all of you, when God is whispering in our ear. It's not just me. You know when He said, no, 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 no. And you keep doing it and keep walking the wrong way. And no, no, no. God is a way to turn us around. Because what? He's abiding in us. And if we're connected to the vine, we're connected to that vine, that nutrient, that spiritual nutrient, that giver of life, Jesus Christ, who left His Holy Spirit to live in us, if we're connected to that, we will abide in Him. And friends, if you have not felt like you've been abiding, if you are under the sound of my voice today and we're still alive and well, we have an opportunity today, this day, to begin abiding in the Lord. Amen? We have an opportunity today to begin abiding in Jesus Christ. Because just as He told His disciples on that week, He knew He was going to die. As He told them, He's telling us that He is the vine. And we are the branches. But if we abide in Him, we can survive. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. We can go through all things through Christ who gives us the strength. Amen? And so, friends, remember we're under pruning, but pruning that comes from love. Because God is love. And He loves you. And He loves me. Amen.